To him who loved us and washed us in his own blood and has made us kings and priests before his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Our sermon text for this Sunday comes to us from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who condemns me? Indeed, they all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Christ, who comforts us, saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Dear friends in Christ, if you have had the opportunity to look ahead in your bulletin for today's sermon theme, you've probably surmised, and also from the introduction, that we're going to be talking about resolutions today, though it be a few weeks past. So far, how are your resolutions coming? Now, I'm not talking about your 2020 resolutions, but rather your 2019 resolutions. How are they coming along? Well, 12 months can seem like ancient history in today's fast-paced, single-serve society, but if we are to make these commitments to 2020 that will hopefully lead towards a brighter, happier future, it's important that we address those resolutions in 2019, both accomplished and those left undone. Now, whether these resolutions have to do with physical, mental, or spiritual health, whether they have to do with money or with just being an all-around better person, chances are good that your resolutions for 2020, in many cases, are carryovers from those of 2019. This is because, for being honest with ourselves, we as humans just aren't particularly good at being committed, are we? We lack resolve. For example, anyone who has had a sink full of dirty dishes, or a student that has had an end-of-semester project, or if you've had to ever make a doctor's appointment, you can probably recall a time when you've thought, "I'll get to that tomorrow." And tomorrow becomes next week becomes next month, and next month becomes next year, and all of a sudden, it's 2020. So you can see how easy it is to put little resolve into each year's resolutions. But there is one who possessed the resolve that we lack, one who made promises not for his own benefit and betterment, but for ours, and who kept those promises and fulfilled them to resolve our greatest problem, the problem of sin. So our theme for today is that Christ's resolutions are your solutions. He resolved to keep his Father's law. He resolved to pay his world's debt, and he resolved to end his people's weariness. We ask that the Spirit would bless our study. Now, it's interesting to consider how closely related the two words solution and resolution are. In fact, they can be used interchangeably in many instances. But besides perhaps their similar spelling, the common denominator between the two words is that they both assume that there is a problem. If you find yourself in need of a solution or a resolution, you can bet that something went awry along the way. And as any good problem solver can tell you, there are three steps to solving any problem and to restoring order and harmony to any trouble-ridden situation. Step number one, address the issue. A parent asks their child, "What's the matter?" A doctor asks the patient, "Where does it hurt?" Find out where things went wrong. So what's the matter? What is your problem? Now, there are many things that you could have going wrong for you lately. Perhaps your health is suffering. Maybe you are gaining weight because of stress. Or maybe an important relationship is suffering because of bitterness. Or maybe you just can't find the time to open a Bible and to spend time in God's Word, and so your faith is what's suffering. Now, these are all problems, but we're kind of dancing around the real issue, aren't we? Chest pain is a problem. Shortness of breath is a problem. Fatigue is a problem. A persistent cough is a problem. But these are all symptoms. They are not the underlying issue. And if you go and you put those four symptoms together in a Google search, the internet will kindly inform you that it's possible that you have lung cancer, which is obviously a much more serious problem than any one of those put together. So it is with stress, bitterness, poor prioritizing, and you can personalize this list of problems for yourself, be it greed, anger, lust, drunkenness, jealousy, etc. All of these things are problems, but they are not the problem, just symptoms. So where did we go wrong? Let's take it back to Genesis. God created mankind in his own image to live in the Garden of Eden. He formed man from the dust of the earth, and he formed woman from the rib of Adam, and together they lived in perfect harmony, in a peace that we really can't understand today in our sinful state. They were perfect, righteous before the Lord, but all of that changed when the serpent tempted them to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God said would kill them, because Satan had told them that it would make them be like God. Enter sin. God's perfect creation had stained itself, tarnished and defiled its righteousness by disobeying God. And now that smear of sin has passed to each one of us as human beings in the form of original sin. Because we are all descended from Adam and Eve, that sin infects us all. Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." So that's where it all went wrong. If you are looking at your New Year's resolutions for 2019 or 2020 or for any year really, you can bet that you can trace the root cause of all of those problems that you are addressing in your resolution back to the problem of sin. You can try and treat the problems, fix the symptoms, but that won't solve the bigger problem. You may as well be putting fungus cream on a tumor, because the cancer of sin remains no matter how many symptoms you kill. And it will kill you, that cancer of sin, in the end, spiritually, eternally. Romans 6 tells us that the wages of sin is death, and Galatians 2 clarifies this, saying that a man is not justified by the works of the law. There aren't enough good deeds in the whole world that can cover up that one time that you said something that you wish you hadn't, or that one time that you took something that didn't belong to you, or to forget about that one thing that you hope no one finds out that you did, because the shame alone would kill you. Well, thankfully, we have someone who has not failed as we continually do, whose birth we just celebrated not long ago, being born God and man. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was not stained with that original sin that we have, being the Son of God. He was promised by Isaiah, who in our text speaks in the first person of Christ, saying, "The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away." He listened to his father perfectly and did not so much as have one unclean thought. Jesus was placed under that law, and he upheld it to the letter because he had resolved to keep his father's law. This resolution is evident when God first made the promise in the Garden of Eden. No sooner had he spoken to the consequences of sin than he promised to send a Savior who would crush the serpent's head. And this gets brought up over and over, this resolve, throughout Israel's history. The promises that he made are brought forth to Abraham and to Jacob, that he would fulfill his word and send a Redeemer to bring his people back to him. And so the problem had been addressed, and step two of the problem-solving equation was well underway, making a plan. And that plan was to succeed where all others had failed. Christ resolved to pay his world's debt. And perhaps nowhere is this resolve seen more clearly than our gospel reading for today, in the Gospel of Luke, where it says there that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. This is practically an echo from our sermon text for today, where it says, "I have set my face like a flint." And we still describe especially determined or resolved people today as being stone-faced. And he would indeed have to be determined in order to make payment for the sins of the world. It can be easy to look at that cute little baby in the nativity scene and to forget why it is that Jesus had to be born. He was born to die for us. And he did just that. Now, verse 6 of our text says, "I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." This is talking about Jesus' trial before the Jews and throughout his life when he was persecuted. And this is almost quoted again in the New Testament in Mark chapter 14, where it says regarding the Jews, "They all condemned him to be deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him and to say to him, 'Prophesy.' And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands." Now we come to step three of the problem solver's solution. Put your plan into action. And Jesus did just that. All of the blueprints of the Old Testament came together so that the sinless Lamb of God was in perfect position to pay for the sins of the entire world. And he did not disappoint. From cradle to cross, everything was carried out just so, so that when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," you and I can believe that. That is a check of righteousness with your specific name on it that you can take straight to the bank. Amidst all of the problems of sin and shame and grief that we face on a daily basis, we have this wonderful comfort that our debt has been paid, that our sins are no more, separated from us, as the psalmist says, as far as the east is from the west, because Christ has resolved to end his people's weariness. Now, one big reason that we like New Year's resolutions is because it focuses us forward, doesn't it? Looking back in the past, that can be very often depressing and sad and disappointing. But the future is bright and exciting and new. And as we look on last year and we see all of the things that didn't get done, the relatives that passed away, the friendships broken, it's enough to make one weary, isn't it? So tired of sin and failure and tears. If that's you, I've got good news for you. Rather, not I, but Christ has good news. For he says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. If you're tired, and you feel like you can't go on like this, Jesus says to you, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you're feeling lonely or abandoned, Christ says to you, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." If you ever feel like there is no peace to be had and that the world is crumbling around you, your Savior says, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." If you feel that Jesus could not have meant a sinner such as you when he speaks his promises of grace and forgiveness, he says, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And so you see, resolutions are important, but I don't mean your resolutions. This coming new year, we will all undoubtedly endeavor to better ourselves in one way or another, but our sinful flesh will be continually seeking to undermine and derail even our best efforts, and we will fail time and time again, no matter how determined we may be. But thanks be to Christ, whose resolutions are your solution to the greatest problem of sin. Because Jesus resolved to keep his Father's law, that righteous obedience becomes your own by faith, so that God no longer sees sinful rebels, but children and heirs of eternal life. Christ resolved to pay his world's debt, even though he was the one who created it in the first place. The almighty power of God took on frail human form so that the plan to end his people's weariness could be accomplished. And it was, so that you and I are now a new creation in him, no longer slaves to the law, but servants of righteousness, which we have by faith. As Horatius Bonar wrote in the well-loved hymn, "I heard the voice of Jesus say, 'Come unto me and rest. Lay down, O weary one, lay down your head upon my breast.' I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad." Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.